Okay, inshallah. Okay, inshallah, we're going to get started now on the Tawheed class. And again, we are continuing with the topic for this week, which is the Islamic personality. And the purpose of these series of lectures, again, is to help us develop the behavior and the personality of a believing Muslim. A lot of people ask the question, what does the word Tawheed mean? Well, what Tawheed refers to is belief in the oneness of Allah. And that's what Islam is based upon, guys. Islam is based upon Tawheed. And Tawheed covers many, 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 many different topics. Okay, as you can see from this Tawheed class, you know, I'm not sitting here teaching you the different categories of Tawheed, Tawheed Rabubiya, etc., etc., etc. What I'm doing is teaching you the whole different series of what Tawheed is, what it means to believe in Allah's oneness. Okay, because Tawheed is not just knowing what the different categories of Tawheed are as defined by the scholars. Tawheed also involves learning what it means to be a Muslim. What does it mean to think like a believing Muslim? What makes a Muslim different from a Christian? That's what Tawheed is about. What makes the Muslims different than the Kafirs? That's what Tawheed is about. Okay, so that's why we're covering all the different topics. All of these topics relate to Tawheed. Okay, again, Tawheed is not just categories. Okay, Tawheed is the basics of Islam. It's the basis of Islam. Our whole life is spent in Tawheed. Our whole life is spent worshiping Allah and His oneness. And we do that from our behavior, from our actions, the things we say, how we live our daily life, etc. Okay, so anyway, for this subject, we're talking about how to develop the Islamic personality. How to start to think like a believing Muslim. And again, for many of you who are new to Islam, you're starting over. Your life has started over anew. And there's things you have to change. Things that you used to do that you need to stop doing. For example, you can't be dishonest. You can't lie. You can't cheat. You can't steal. Okay? You cannot commit sins deliberately, intentionally. So this is really a new for those of you new to Islam. It's like you're learning how to be a person all over again. Okay, and that's the purpose of this series of lectures. Okay, before we begin with the different characteristics of the Islamic personality for today, what I want to do is review several of the characteristics we talked about yesterday. I'm going to ask you guys some questions to see if you can answer them, and that's my way of also telling if you guys are paying attention. First of all, who can tell me? What is the head of remembrance of Allah? What is the head of remembrance of Allah? And this thing also protects us against the shaitan. Very good, Sister Samaya. The head of remembrance of Allah is supplication or dua, making dua. That's the head of remembrance of Allah, not salat. Okay, salat is an obligation that we owe to Allah. We have to remember, guys, there's a difference between salat and dua. Salat is something that we owe to Allah. It's an obligation. Dua is something that we do to keep and stay in remembrance of Allah. Okay? And dua is the head of remembrance of Allah. By making dua to Allah, this protects you from the shaitan. Because it makes you remember Him. Remember Allah. And we talked about before how shaitan runs away whenever he hears the name Allah. That's the one thing you have to say to get rid of the shaitan, is just mention the name Allah. So we want to remember that the head of remembrance of Allah is supplication, and it protects against the shaitan. Second question. Who can tell me why is backbiting so lethal? What does it destroy? We talked about backbiting yesterday and how important it is for us to stay away from it, how it's such a horrible, major sin. Who can tell me why is it so horrible? What does it destroy? Very good, I mean, it destroys good deeds. What else does it destroy? It doesn't just destroy good deeds. What else does it do? What else does it destroy? No, what else does it destroy? Backbiting destroys your good deeds. It throws all your good deeds out the window. Very good, Amina. And the next thing it destroys is brotherhood. This is why we have to stay away from backbiting too. Backbiting destroys brotherhood. It destroys our ummah. It strips us apart. So this is why we have to stay away from it. Okay? Because whatever good deeds that you may do, you throw them all out the window if you sit up and engage in backbiting or slander. Okay? And not only by are you destroying your deeds, but you're destroying the brotherhood of this ummah as well. Okay? Also yesterday, we talked about how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the people of the hellfire will be five in different categories. Who can remember what are the five different categories of people who will be in the hellfire? What are those five different not kafirs. What are the five different categories that the people will fall into to make them be in the hellfire? Very good, Sister Manny. One of the categories are people who are followers. Followers of others. People who sit around following others instead of checking out information on their own. They're following others. Very good, Manny. The second group are the people who are too weak to fight against evil. People who are too weak to fight against evil. People who sit around committing sins, knowing it's wrong, but they still do it. What's another group? What's the other group we talked about yesterday? Very good, Abdul. The third group are people who take pleasure in their wealth and family. In other words, they're living for this world only. All they're concerned about is how much money they got and their family status. They could care less about the hereafter. Very good. And the next group are those people who are dishonest and greedy. People who you can't trust. These are the different five groups of people who will be in the hellfire. And again, we need to ask ourselves, do we fall into this group? Yes. And the last group are those who betray others. People who go around betraying others. So you want to ask yourself, do you fall in this group? Are you too weak to fight against evil? Allah doesn't like a weak person, neither does Layla. Okay? Are you weak? If you are, you better get up out of it. Then you need to ask yourself, are you so concerned with how much money you're making and you live in the life of this world that you're not thinking about Allah? You don't pray, you don't fast, you don't fulfill your obligations to Allah? Then you need to ask yourself, are you a dishonest person? Are you a person that can't nobody trust? And you need to ask yourself, are you someone who goes around betraying others? People come to you and they trust you and you betray them. And then finally you need to ask yourself, are you one of those people who don't think for yourself, you live your life following others? Those are the five categories of people who will be in the hellfire that we talked about yesterday, and we all need to pray to Allah that we don't fall into those groups. Okay, the last question from yesterday. Who can tell me? We talked about how important it is to seek knowledge about our religion, but we have to seek it for the right reasons. Who can tell me what are the reasons to not seek knowledge of Islam? Who can remember? What are the reasons to not seek knowledge of Islam? Very good, Sister Amina. One of the reasons is you don't want to seek knowledge of this religion just so you can go back and argue with the ignorant people. This is haram. Very good, Samaya. You do not want to seek knowledge just so you can compete with the scholars. Okay? Or try to show off. Okay? So those are the reasons that you don't seek knowledge. You seek knowledge to please Allah. You should be seeking knowledge to please Allah for His sake only, not so you can sit around and look for fame and fortune and argue with other people and debate with the scholars. That's not the reason to seek knowledge. Anyone who does that will be, what will happen? Who can remember what will happen to people who do those things? What will happen to the people who seek knowledge for those reasons? Very good. They will be in the hellfire, right along with those other groups of people. So you want to avoid that. When you seek knowledge of this religion, you seek it for the sake of Allah. You don't seek it for any other reason other than Allah, pleasing Him. Okay, so now we're going to continue on today with the next set of characteristics that we all need to work on developing and implementing into our makeup as humans. As humans who are striving to become believing Muslims. And again, I stress believing. There's a difference between a Muslim and a believing Muslim. And we have to remember something, guys. Allah does not say that all Muslims will be in paradise. This is not true. Because there'll be a bunch of Muslims sitting up in the hellfire with the rest of the people. What Allah tells us is that there will be all believers in paradise. The people who make it to paradise are the believers. So just because you call yourself a Muslim does not mean you go into paradise. Big difference. So again, we're trying to help you to develop the personality of a believer, not a Muslim. Okay? Today we're going to start off by talking about the essential characteristics of the Islamic personality. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There are two characteristics which are not found in a hypocrite. And those two characteristics are number one, good manners, and number two, understanding of the religion. These two characteristics are what sets the believers apart from the hypocrites." Okay? A hypocrite is a person that can sit up and quote Quran to you, recite the Quran to you. They can sit up and quote hadiths to you, but they don't understand anything of what they say. Because understanding means that you apply that knowledge to your behavior. So the hypocrite is a person who may have knowledge of this religion, but he lacks understanding of it because he doesn't act upon it. And also, the hypocrite is one who has horrible manners. Horrible, terrible, low-life manners. Okay? And those two characteristics are what set the believers apart from the hypocrites. The manners of the believer are the manners of the righteous people. And his behavior is that of the behavior of the righteous people. He imitates the pious people and tries to follow in their footsteps. In other words, the believer doesn't try to be like the kafir. The believer doesn't have role models like Hillary Clinton or George Bush or Alexander the Great or Hercules. The believer has role models such as Abu Bakr, Umar, radiallahu anhu, Ali, Aisha, Salama. He tries to imitate the manners and behaviors of the righteous people, not the kafir. Okay? So this is the difference between a hypocrite and a believer. And unfortunately, I know of many, many, many Muslims many, many Muslims who profess to be such good Muslims, but their heroes are Alexander the Great, Aristotle, these kafirs, people like this. And I tell them, where's your books about Umar radiallahu anhu? The stories of the Sahaba, the stories of the prophets, alayhi salam. You should take these people as your role model, not Alexander the Great, who was a pagan, not Cleopatra, who was a pagan, and not this woman Nefertiti, who was a pagan. By the way, guys, let me clear up something about this. I have a degree in history, a master's degree in ancient civilizations. Cleopatra was a kafir. Okay? She worshipped the sun god, her and her husband. So for those crazy Muslims who are so twisted, which is many Egyptians I'm talking about, they are so twisted in their knowledge that they got the nerve to take on names like Nefertiti. They say, oh, she prayed to one god. Yes, she did. She prayed to one god, and that god was the sun. You idiot. She didn't pray to Allah. She worshipped the sun. The sun. She was a pagan. So why would you sit up naming yourself after a pagan kafir? Why would she be your hero? Why don't you name yourself after Aisha radiallahu anhu, or Fatima, or Khadija, or Salama? Okay, so again, many Muslims are really twisted in their thinking, in their knowledge, and many of them are hypocrites in disguise. And many of them will be sitting in a hellfire because of their hypocrisy. So we have to remember, guys, that's the difference between a believer and a hypocrite. A believer has understanding of his religion. He understands that he does not go around taking on the names of a kafir like Nefertiti. He understands that Nefertiti was a pagan who worshipped the sun. She did not pray to Allah. She was not a Muslim, a believing Muslim. Whereas the hypocrite takes on these stupid names and these heroes, and tries to imitate them, try to be Cleopatra and Nefertiti and Alexander the Great. And they imitate them to the point where they will be all sitting up in the hellfire. Okay, so we want to remember, guys, we need to work on having good manners and good understanding of our religion. And we get those manners from the believer, the believing righteous Muslims, not from the kuffar. Okay? The next characteristic we want to talk about is honest jesting. Honest jesting. And this is a question that we get asked here a lot at the website. Is it haram to joke? Is it haram to play and joke with your brothers and sisters in Islam? Well, the answer is no. It is not haram to joke as long as your jokes are based on truthfulness and not based on lies. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to joke with his Sahaba. He used to joke with them, but he never joked about anything that was not true about them. And this is also why we have to be careful, guys, with our joking. Because there's sincerity in the joking. Some people's feelings can actually get hurt by your jokes. Okay? Because you'd be telling them the truth that they don't want to hear. And I can tell you guys, 90% of the Muslims are weak and sensitive. I'm telling you, from what I know, I can't play with nobody. Okay, so you better be careful with this joking, because people get their feelings hurt so easily. But to answer the question, no, joking is not haram, as long as whatever you joke about a person is the truth. So be careful with this. The next characteristic we need to work on is recognizing that there is a time for this and a time for that, and many Muslims don't understand this either. And what this means is there's a time to joke. There's a time to play. And then there's a time to be serious. For example, here at the website, when class begins, it's time to be serious. You don't sit here carrying on your conversation when the class begins. It's time to get serious. So the believing Muslim has to understand that there is a time for this and a time for that. And we need to know what is serious and what is not serious. We need to know when to be serious and when not to be. When to joke, when not to joke. So we need to work on this too, guys, knowing that there's a time for this and a time for that. The next characteristic I want to talk about is a big one. That's another big problem with Muslims. The believing Muslim has to understand that he cannot take his sins lightly. Now, a couple of weeks ago, guys, we had somebody new join the website. Many of you who are regular users were here and remembered this. This person was new, and he came to the website, and the first thing he asked us is, which is a worse sin, having sex without being married or drinking alcohol? He asked us, which sin is worse? And then he said, the reason why he wanted to know is because he wants to know, would he be doing worse if he give up having sex? Or would he be doing worse if he gives up drinking? This is what this guy sat here and asked us here at the website. Then, a year ago, last summer, for those of you who are regular users, I'm sure you can remember, we had a woman join this website. She claimed that she graduated from an Islamic university in Egypt, and she had the nerve to interrupt my Tawheed class and tell everybody here that we need to be concerned with whether or not our deeds are major, our sins are major or minor. I told her she was incorrect. You don't go around teaching people that they need to be concerned about their sins, because a believer would never deliberately commit any sin. This woman tried to debate with me, so I banned her from my website. And you can find her on the poster board slandering me today. She's one of the people who slandered me on the poster board, and she claims I kicked her out of the website for no reason. She needs to tell the truth. I kicked her out of here because she came here telling the people here that they need to ask themselves if the sins they commit are major or minor. And this is incorrect. The true believer does not deliberately disobey a law. All sins are great. All sins add up. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, beware of sins which are treated as being minor, because minor sins will add up and destroy you. And that hadith is sahih. And that's the hadith I use with this woman who claimed and graduated from some Islamic school, but she went to the poster board and slandered me and didn't tell the truth about why she got kicked out of here. Because I guess she wants them to think that she's somebody special. So again, guys, the believing Muslim does not take sins lightly. He knows that his sins add up. He doesn't waste his time saying, well, this sin is minor, so I'll go ahead and commit this one, but I'll stay away from doing this because this is major. We need to understand, guys, that sins which are ignored by the weak cause their destruction. If you commit sins and you are weak in your iman, this will destroy you, because it removes your faith and it removes the fear of Allah from your heart. For example, I can give you an example. A person can start off and say, okay, I'm going to start off by smoking cigarettes, because smoking cigarettes is a minor sin. So this person starts smoking. They keep on smoking. They keep on smoking. Suddenly the fear of Allah leaves them. They no longer paranoid. So they say, okay, I'm going to move up now to smoking marijuana. So they then begin to smoke marijuana. Marijuana doesn't cause any harm. It cures cancer. I'm going to smoke marijuana. So he starts smoking marijuana. Again, the fear of Allah disappears even more. So finally he says, okay, now I'm going to move up to drinking some brandy. Next thing you know, he's drinking, smoking, and doing drugs. Okay, so this is why we do not ignore small sins. Because small sins will cause you to lose the fear of Allah in your heart. Okay? And it will destroy your faith in Allah. And eventually you will be sitting up doing all kind of major sins, and you will be doomed to hell forever. So again, we have to avoid this, guys. Never take a sin lightly. I don't want to hear anybody here ever say it was just a minor sin. Because minor sins add up. Okay? The next characteristic that we're going to have to work on is the believing Muslim does not commit oppression. Oppression. This is another one of the great evils which is destroying our ummah today, along with the backbiting and slander. Now we have to understand, guys, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the destruction of the Muslims will not come from our enemies. We don't have to worry about our enemies destroying us. Our destruction will come from each other, from ourselves. We will oppress each other. We will imprison each other. And that's what's going on today. You can see it. You can see Muslims being oppressed by other Muslims. And I'll give you another example, this website. I've had this website for 5 years. 5 years. I've never had problems with any of the kafirs. The Jews don't bother me. They can't understand how I'm able to do this. The Christians don't bother me. The problems I've had were from Muslims. When I first made this website, we went through 2 years of hacking. We kept getting hacked every day. And we were hacked by Muslims. So-called Muslims. Shiites. And then after we took care of that problem, now look, we're attacked by the slander and the gossip of the poster board people. And these people claim to be Muslims too. They claim to be Salafi. Okay? So that's an example of how the Prophet meant that we will be oppressed and destroyed by ourselves, not the enemies. And I can see it happening right now. There are two types of oppression, guys, that you need to be aware of. There are two types of oppression. The first type of oppression is when you oppress yourself. The second type is when you oppress others. Both of these are haram. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Beware of committing oppression, for on the day of resurrection, oppression will be a darkness." So both types of oppression are haram. And a lot of people ask the question, how do you oppress yourself? You oppress yourself, for example, a lot of these women we get here, they come to our website. Instead of seeking knowledge about the religion, they're trying to find somebody to listen to their personal problem. I'm unhappy in my marriage. My husband beats me up. He don't take care of me or my children. I'm miserable. I'm depressed. I'm unhappy. Oh, Shaykh, can you help me? Oh, dear scholar of Islam, you are oppressing yourself by staying in a situation that is not good for you. And many of us oppress ourselves this way. We stay in a marriage that we know is not happy, not healthy. But instead of us having the strength and common sense to say, okay, enough is enough, I'm going to divorce this man, we go around wasting other people's time by crying our personal problems to anybody who's willing to listen. Okay? That's oppressing yourself. Allah says He cannot change the condition of a people unless they change the condition of themselves. You cannot go around asking people to make dua for you, to make you have a happy life, if you ain't willing to get up off your rocker and make the change yourself. Okay? So many Muslims oppress themselves.
Amen.
And this is haram. And then the second type of oppression is to go around oppressing others. You think you're powerful. You think you're somebody with control. So you go around making life miserable for others. That's oppression. Okay? Or like many people are doing on the internet, you're jealous or you're envious of what somebody else is doing for Allah. So what do? You go around making poster boards, websites to slander people. And go around sending slanderous emails to everybody you know. That's oppression. You're oppressing someone. We need to be careful of this, guys, because there is no screen between the prayers of an oppressed person and Allah. What that means is anyone who is truly oppressed and he goes to Allah and makes dua to him, Allah listens. There is no screen between the two of them. So we need to really think twice before we sit around oppressing other people. Because you don't know, that person can make a dua that can knock you off your rocker. And I'm here to tell you, I've seen it happen 100 times. People oppressing other Muslims, good believing Muslims, and those Muslims make dua and bam, you done lost your son. Or you done lost your home, your job, or your life. So you best be careful, guys, about oppressing other people. And you need to stop oppressing yourself. If your situation is miserable, change it. Get up and change it. Don't sit there living in it. If you're living in a country that says that doesn't allow you to practice Islam, that's when you move. If you can't wear a hijab because your country doesn't allow it, get up off your rocker and move somewhere where you can wear one. Okay? We need to be careful of this, guys. So that's another characteristic we want to work on getting rid of, and that is oppression. You don't want to oppress yourself or others. The true believing Muslim doesn't do either one. He doesn't oppress himself, nor would he ever think to oppress another human. The next characteristic I want to talk about for today is this goes hand in hand with slander and backbiting. It's called gossiping. Gossiping. Which is another thing women like to do particularly. Okay? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, conveying the words of some people to others just to create mischief between them is a sin. And anyone who does that will be in a hellfire. Gossip goes hand in hand with slander and backbiting. If somebody comes to you, tell like I was telling a sister we had here yesterday. She asked a question about, can she tell someone a woman who wants to get married to a man, that his ex-wife said he got AIDS. Can she tell that? Like I told her, do you know for a fact that he has AIDS? No. How do you know that his wife, his ex-wife, is not just saying that because she's mad because he divorced her? And she's trying to get back with him. I don't know. So therefore, what would you be if you sit around telling somebody else that? That makes you a gossiper. If you don't know if the information is true or not, that makes you a big gossiper, a tale carrier. And we can't do that, guys. It's haram. You don't go around telling somebody, I heard that so-and-so and so-and-so said, that so-and-so and so-and-so said. This is a major sin. And the people who do this will be sitting up in the hellfire. We have to also understand, guys, that gossip is a disease. When it enters your heart, it corrupts it. And when your heart becomes corrupt, the rest of your body becomes corrupt. And the only people who engage in gossip are people who are filled with love of this world and people in whose hearts religion is not important. So you need to beware of people who gossip. Because again, the only people who would indulge in this are people who love the life of this world and who really have no regard for religion. Okay? So we need to be careful of this, guys. Gossip is another major sin, and it's also something that we need to get rid of. It should not be in the makeup of any of us as believing Muslims. Okay, the next thing we want to talk about is the believing Muslim is not attached to this world. He is not attached to this world. One day, Jibril, alayhi salam, came to the Prophet and he said, O Muhammad, live as you will, for you must certainly die. Love whom you will, since you must certainly leave him. And act as you will, since you shall certainly be given due reward for it. Know that the believer's eminence in his standing in prayer during the night, and his honor is in having sufficiency without being dependent upon other people. We need to understand the essence behind this hadith is the person who lives attached to this world, he may be rich in his possessions, but he is poor in regards to his religion. Now, let me explain this a little bit even deeper, because we got a bunch of extremists. They use this to mean that they're supposed to be poor. You got a bunch of extreme Muslims who will read these hadiths about not being attached to the world, and they think that means you can't have a nice car. They think that means you can't have nice clothes, that you can't live a nice life. No, that is not what these hadiths mean. What these hadiths mean is that you live according to your means. But don't excel beyond that. Don't excel beyond that. That's what this means. If you can afford a nice car, then get you one. But don't excel beyond it. If you can afford a nice Toyota, get you a Toyota. Don't go out and buy a Lexus if you can't afford it. That's what it means. There's nothing wrong with having nice clothes, just long as you don't overdo it and go out and spending all your money on these lavish life clothes and you ain't even got food to eat or you can't even pay your bills. That's what that means, guys. You can have a nice life, but don't overdo it. Don't become so attached to this world that you lose remembrance of Allah. You'll find that the people who become attached to this world, these are the people who end up no longer praying. Like I'm sure many of you know people like this, especially Muslim doctors. You meet all these Muslim doctors, good doctors, making good money, driving Mercedes Benz, living in mansions with swimming pools, movie stars, etc. And then you ask him, do you pray? Oh, no, I stopped praying years ago. He stopped praying when he first started making his over $200,000 a year. You know, this is an example of a person who's become too attached to this world. We have to remember, guys, as believing Muslims, that we were put here to worship Allah, and we were put here to be tested. And we were put here to try to accumulate as many good deeds as possible to take with us to the hereafter. The life of this world is temporary. It'll be gone. You live today, you'll die tomorrow. Nothing is eternal here. So do not attach yourself to this world. That is what those hadiths mean. It does not mean that you can't have a nice life. Okay? And finally for today, the last attribute I want to talk about is good actions. Good actions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, charity is due upon every person. Administering justice between two people is an act of charity. Helping a man concerning his riding animal or helping him to lift his luggage is an act of charity. A kind word is an act of charity. And every step which you take to prayer is charity. Removing something harmful from the road is charity. We have to understand, guys, as believing Muslims, we should be good in our actions. We should help those who need to be helped. If you know two people are arguing with each other, you don't go around instigating like many Muslims are doing here today. If you see your brother and sister mad at each other, or your two brothers mad at each other, you don't jump in the middle and say, yeah, you right. Yeah, I agree with you. We should do this. Instead, you go and try to bring those two back together. That's where the reward comes at, and that's a charitable act. Helping a person. If you see a person with a flat tire, it doesn't even have to be a Muslim. It could be a kafir. You're driving down a street and you see a woman by herself with her children on the highway with a flat tire. If you pull over and help them, you've done a charitable act and you've received a lot of blessings for that. If you see a woman walk into her home, like I had somebody do for me today. You are a woman who done went grocery shopping, and you see she's struggling to carry 10 bags up 2 flights of steps, and you stop what you're doing and go help her. That's a charitable act. And again, it doesn't matter if the person's Muslim or not. You've received a lot of blessings for doing that. If you see something lying in the street, that you know if a car ran over it, it would flatten their tire, and you move it out the street, that's another good deed, another charitable act you've done that you get blessings for. We have to remember, guys, the story of the prostitute and the dog. There was a prostitute who saw a dog lying in a street, dying of thirst. She took off her shoe, put water in it, and brought it to the dog. The dog drank it and he lived. Allah was pleased with her deed, her charitable act. And Allah decided to forgive her for all her sins and admit her into paradise because of that little deed she had done. Now we all know that a dog is the lowest creature on earth. But even helping it gave this woman paradise. We have to always, guys, as believing Muslims, take knowledge to our actions. Take heed to our actions. A smile is an act of charity. You can be walking down the street and pass by a man and you smile at him and nod your head in greeting. You don't know, you could have made that person's day. That man could have just lost his job. And his rent is due. His gas could have been cut off. and he's trying to figure out how he's going to support his family. And that smile you gave him was a good thing. It made him feel good, at least for one moment. It made him feel like he was something. That's a charitable act, guys. The believing Muslim always takes heed to his actions, and he tries to be charitable and good in his behavior. A lot of people ask me the question every day, how do we give dawah? And I tell you guys, we give dawah from our behavior. That's what how you give dawah to others. Look at the Muslim man that lives across the street. Look how well behaved his children are. Look how dignified his wife is. Look at how they keep their home clean and neat. And they are careful to not play loud noises in their home to disturb us. And look how whenever his wife cooks a pot of food, she gives it to the lady down the street who has 10 kids and no man to help raise them. That's how you give dawah to others, guys. That's what makes people say, wow, I want to be like that man and his family. So let me go learn about their religion. That's how you give dawah. And that's the behavior of a true believing Muslim. Always good in their actions. Okay? So I want to stop right here for today. And we're going to continue with the next set of characteristics tomorrow. You want to remember, guys, to be good in your actions. You want to remember to not become too attached to the life of this world. You want to remember that a good believing Muslim does not go around oppressing others or oppressing himself. You want to also remember that a true believer does not take sins lightly. And a true believer knows that there's a time for this and a time for that. And the true believer is careful of his joking and his jesting. So those are the things that I want to go over today. And tomorrow we will continue with the next set of characteristics. If you guys have any questions, go ahead and ask them.